You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580 on a Thursday, 7 after the hour. Welcome to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout is out and about and in the house. Good morning, sir.
Well, it is so good to be here, Ron, and the week before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
1 week away.
One week away.
Have you bought your turkey yet? Yeah, made plans. I don't know who we're seeing, but we're going to give it a shot. You know, however it is, it's great to be here on Thursday, the week before Thanksgiving. And to each of you who are joining us, thank you for joining us, too. And if you do have a question about Social Security, anything and everything, the encyclopedia, the Bible of Social Security joins us here this morning. But first, we also have our other guest. Continuing hosts, we'll call it that. Heidi Cartwright, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis. Good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to be here. And this is such a great show, and we're so happy to have Bob with us because we always have tons of questions about Social Security. There's a lot of things that go on with that. So,
A lot of ins and outs, and we've had our practice session, so we're all geared up and ready to go. Foaming at the mouth, wanting to ask more questions of Bob. And joining us, too, is Deanne Jennings. Deanne Jennings, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis, and good morning to all our listeners. I'm so privileged to be here this morning. And can I tell you, we met before the radio show, and we had such a great conversation. I usually get coffee for our guests, and I didn't get to do that this morning because the conversation just, I
it
lost track of
long.
Time.
Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah. You guys are in for a treat.
I hope so. You bet. Bob, you do a great job of representing Social Security as the local district manager of the local office right here in Traverse City.
And that's right. And, yeah, I have Traverse City, Petoskey, Cadillac, Northern Michigan.
Wow. Northern Michigan.
Yeah, it's great. Great. That's why we're foaming at the mouth. I mean, yeah.
Speak for yourself there, Dennis. Yeah, right. Well, it's great to have you here, and there are so many questions. But first, Ron had brought this up before the show, and we had talked about it too. What about this proposal from the new administration to possibly cut or do away with taxes on Social Security benefits? Would that have any impact on Social Security itself?
Yeah, it would.
It would. Okay.
It would have. Let me talk about Social Security and taxes. Your benefits are taxable. It all depends on what where you are in your tax brackets.
Mm-hmm. Up to 85%
of your benefits. Up to 85% of your benefits are taxable. And what I would do is refer you to my IRS brothers and sisters to figure out, you know, how much is taxable. But I know the incoming president is looking at that. And, you know, whatever the law says, that's what Social Security is going to do.
Well, okay. So it could have an impact on your benefits if they're not taxed. That's what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But the amounts that are taxed are not going back into Social Security trust and into the trust fund.
Right, because it's taxable, it goes to the general tax fund.
Sure.
Okay.
The general.
Yeah, general revenue
fund.
For the to run the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
To run the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They actually do that?
Well.
You may not know it, but the theory is that they do.
Sorry, that was not necessary. So if you do have questions of a Social Security nature today, if you would, Ron.
You can call the phone number or you can text the number. Either way, same number, 231 area code, call or text 947-0023, 947-0023.
Now, lots have been made of this Social Security Trust Fund and it running out. And I remember seeing an article that said, well, under the current plan, the benefits, the trust benefits, if you will, the trust account would mm-hmm. run out in mm-hmm. 2034, I think
right.
is the year.
Right.
But they said with those new program, no taxes on tips, I think it was, as well as no tax on mm-hmm. Social Security benefits, mm-hmm. that they'd go back down to 2031. And what you're saying is you're not so sure about that. Would
right.
that be accurate?
Right. Well, it could be accurate. It all depends on the economy and stuff. And, you know, we were talking earlier that I used to work in Washington. I went to Washington for a month. And I worked in the Office of Disability Retirement Policy. And that is mm-hmm. the office where they actually come up and figure out what the figures are, how the solvency, and they do scenarios on, okay, if we raised a tax, this is what would happen. If we raised retirement age or lowered the retirement age, what would happen? Mm-hmm. And they're, I'm sure they're busy, hard at work right now, mm-hmm. figuring out what would happen to the Social Security Trust Funds if any changes are made. Because the last changes were made back in 1982, 1983 amendments. And that's when they moved the retirement age from the full retirement age from 65 to 67.
Mm-hmm.
So people born after 1960, it's 67. And the reason they did that was for solvency. And so they're working on that.
For solvency was related to our continuing extension of life expectancy. Because
yes.
when they started Social Security, and everybody knows this probably, and back in 19, when did they start?
1935.
35. I was going to say 45. I thought that would be yep. So 35.
Yeah.
No one lived to age 65.
No,
it was so rare.
No.
Well, today it's a relatively common event, as I can attest
to. Yeah, we're living
to.
Until our 80s, 90s,
yes.
100s.
So yeah. because of that extended life expectancy, it would only make sense that they extend the age at which you can collect benefits, perhaps, if they were to do that under the same kind of program. That was graduated in over many
sure
years.
Was.
That
sure
changed
was.
From 65 to 67.
Exactly.
I think it would lend a tremendous amount of confidence. So what you're saying is this group, they come up with these formulas of, you know, how do we make this Social Security Trust Fund? Let's say, for instance, that we were discussing, we wanted those, we were saying, as let's say we're the politicians who are proposing
mm-hmm.
this,
mm-hmm.
wanted the trust fund to stay adequate, if you will, until
right.
year 2075.
Right.
This group you're speaking of within Social Security would be able
yeah.
to tell them, okay, here are the things you're going to need to change
exactly.
to do that.
Exactly. They're actuarials, and they figure it out. They say, all
mm-hmm.
right, if the economy is doing this, this is what our tax income would be, and they figure out what the solvency would be. So going forward, so they we're doing our due diligence, and it's done by the Office of Disability Retirement Policy, and they work for Social Security Administration, and they're working for the board that oversees Social
mm-hmm.
Security.
Well, my thinking was if somebody is, let's say, age 35, and they're not that confident in
mm-hmm.
Social Security
mm-hmm.
benefits, if there was some attention paid by our politicians.
Right.
In Washington,
right.
D.C., to extending these benefit potentials
sure.
for those who are 35
sure.
today and are 30 years away, that would give them that much more confidence in going ahead and paying their Social Security tax.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We want you, you know, the two certainties in life are death and taxes. So we want you to make sure you pay your taxes. But, Dennis, what that 35-year-old is doing is they're paying their Social Security tax. They are insured for a survivor benefit
mm-hmm.
and a disability benefit right now as they're paying in.
Mm-hmm.
So Social Security is not something that's way far off. It's happening right now. So they have that insurance policy that they are paying for right now.
Tell us about Social Security, rather survivor benefits. Let's say a gentleman is age 35. He passes away.
Yeah.
His spouse, let's assume he's married, let's say that they've got three children. What would that look like for her, the survivor in this case, and their children? What would be the benefits for them?
Well, the benefit for the wife, the mother of the children, would be eligible to draw benefits because she's caring for the younger children.
Okay.
And the children can each receive a check. So it's equivalent to about a $250,000 insurance policy is what Social Security is for. And the kids are going to draw benefits until they're 18. If they're 18 and still in high school, until they graduate from high school or reach age 19. Mom is going to get benefits until the youngest child is 16.
Okay.
So it's a great benefit.
So she would get benefits as well as the children. Now, what are those amounts about, survivor benefits?
They would get 75% of what the wage earner was getting. So the wage earner is getting $1,000. Each child would receive $750.
The wage earner was getting $1,000.
Yeah.
What is it?
That's what his amount would be if he, when he died, that's how much his benefit would be.
Your $1,000 a month?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what he had already earned in credit.
Yeah. And he became insured because, like I said, it's an insurance policy. So he's insured for up to so much amount.
Okay. Now, what would be the requirements for him to be insured, let's say, at age 35?
Okay. At age 35, he needs 10 years of work.
Okay.
And let's say he's
40 credits. Is
40
the,
credits yeah, is 10 years of
quarters,
work.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you earn those credits by paying into Social Security. You're earning a certain amount of money, and that's where you are getting your insurance policy.
Okay. And that's part of what you see on your paycheck. When you
Correct.
See all those deductions, you get your paycheck, you see all those deductions. One of those is what goes towards paying that Social Security premium.
The Social Security tax rate is 7.65%, and 6.2% of that is the Social Security Old Age Survivor Disability Insurance.
Okay.
6.2%. And the 1.45% is the Medicare. That's your Medicare tax. So that's it. So when you see it on your tax, you're like, what in the world is this? What am I paying? You're paying your insurance premium. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'll never see that. Well, you will see it. Well, hopefully you won't because your survivors will see it if you are insured for survivor benefits or disability.
So disability could come into play here as well.
Sure can.
A disability benefit.
Sure can.
At any age or what's the age for that?
It can be at any age. Okay. If let's say this 35-year-old becomes disabled, he has to have worked 5 out of the last 10 years prior to his disability, and then he can get a disability benefit.
Okay.
And our definition of disability is that you're so disabled that you cannot work at all, and that disability lasts a year or longer or result in your death. So it's
pretty strict.
It's a very strict. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very strict. It can be a mental disability, a physical disability, a combination of that. So it's really important. But you're paying for that when you're paying your taxes.
Okay. Wow, there are a lot of different ins and outs in Social Security. And the next one I want to reference is for those who are nearing or at retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about this in terms of someone collecting at 67 or 70 or even 62.
Right.
And that increase that they could get. But also, keeping in mind there are two components to increase a benefit between age 62 and 70. If you would address those things, if someone were to wait to collect.
Right, right. For retirement benefits, if you've worked more than 10 years and you're fully insured for a Social Security benefit, you can start collecting as early as age 62. If you start at 62, you have a reduced benefit, and it's reduced based on your full retirement age, the number of months before that. If you're born after 1960, your full retirement age is 67. I mentioned how they moved that in the 1983 amendments. If you can start at 62, or you can wait and keep working or not work, and your benefits will increase every single month that you wait. Now, once you reach your full retirement age, you can start collecting at that point, Or you can just keep waiting and you'll receive delayed retirement credits. And that's 8% a year.
Okay.
So it depends on your situation. And that's what everybody's an individual. That's one thing about this. It's not right for everybody. There's no blanket, oh, you need to do this. No, everybody's an individual. You need to figure it out for yourself.
Okay. So let's say someone's 62 and they mm-hmm. decide not to collect benefits, but for whatever reason they change their mind at 62 and a half.
Yeah.
In essence, they're going to get a 4% approximate increase in their benefits.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to get a little bit bigger.
Each month is about 1/12 then of 8% is what you're saying. Yeah. Just to put a fine point to it.
Yeah, roughly. It's equivalent. Every month that you wait, you're going to get a little bit more.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned in our previous conversation before the show that it's based on their top 35 years of earnings. I think there's a lot of confusion about that. So address that, if you would.
What we do is we look at your earnings record through your entire life. And we take your highest 35 years. And what we do is we bring your earnings up to the current wages. So we use it like an inflation factor and say, hey, what you were earning back in 1985 is earning $18,000. Wow, I was doing pretty well. Well, today, 18's not as well.
Right.
But we bring it up to today's dollar, and we figure out what your average monthly wage is. And we do that by taking your highest 35, and we do our calculation. And what we do, Dennis, is math, okay? We do math. And it's really important that people understand that it's not whether I like you, Ron, or Dennis. It's math. That's what your benefit is. I remember one time I was in Chicago as a claims representative, and a gentleman came up to me, and I calculated his benefit, and I said, all right, you're going to get, whatever it was, $800 a month. And he looked at me, he says, Bob, is that the best you can do? I said, sir, well, this is your record, so it's not me doing it. It was you and your career. So we take your highest 35 years. Now, some people, they want to keep working. And if they keep working and they're paying in Social Security, we're replacing those 35. We're replacing those low years like they earned back in the 70s and 80s. They figure out their highest 35 years. So they get a little bump. They might get a little bump in their benefit.
Now, let's say someone's 63 and they decide to start their benefits, but they're still working. Mm-hmm. How much can they earn without getting a cut in their benefits?
Okay.
Which is a common question.
For next year, for 2025, they can earn $23,400.
Ah, okay.
Now,
23,400. That's 23, under 4. The age of full retirement.
Right. And that is gross wages. Or net earnings from self-employment. So that doesn't cover your pensions, your investments, or anything like that.
Those don't count against that.
Those do not count.
We're talking about earnings.
Earnings, correct. Earning. W-2 or profit. Profit from your self-employment.
Or self-employment income. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Great. So 23,400. If you earn over that, we withhold $1 for every $2 that you go over for benefits for the year.
So it's an impactful...
Yeah,
reduction.
It is. It is. And, my advice to people, if they're 62, 63, under that full retirement age, if they are still working, they might not want to file because we might not be able to pay them. And once they file, they're kind of locked in at that reduction amount until their full retirement
Right, because what if you got a bonus? You did a really great job and you got a bonus, and all of a
sudden
that's going to affect your Social Security.
Yeah, exactly. You're like a
bonus. That does not compute. I'm just thinking, does that computer work? I'm sorry.
Poor Heidi. It's not going to be a good Christmas party.
I'll have to talk to Dennis about what bonuses are.
Where's that lump of coal?
The lump of coal. Where's your bonus?
So the other thing that's interesting about this, let's say you were 64,
right?
You'd been minding your own business, weren't doing any outside work, decided to collect at 62, but then you get this great opportunity at 64.
Yes.
You're going to start consulting, and all of a sudden your income goes sky high. What do you do about your Social Security benefits? You don't want to take a cut in them and
do that. You need to call us.
Stuff.
You need to call us and say, hey, Bob, I'm going to earn X amount of money. And what we're going to do at that point, we're going to stop your Social Security benefits at that point based on your estimate.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say you're going to earn, you're earning $150,000.
Sure.
Like, woo, sweet. And then what will happen? We'll stop your check. And then you won't receive a check until you tell us that you've stopped working. When you are full retirement age, we're going to look back and evaluate again. We're going to say, hey, did Dennis get benefits from 62 to 67? I said, no, he got it 62 to 64. So there was only 2 years of actual receiving a benefit. At that point, we adjust your reduction factor.
Okay.
And it's done automatically. You don't have to ask for it. We do it automatically, and it's just done.
Math. Okay.
So it's math. It's math. Thank you.
Well,
yes, it's math.
The formula for figuring the Social Security benefit is really relatively complex. I remember I actually investigated it probably 30 years ago.
Yeah.
It was interesting, but for that time it was interesting. Not so much now, I guess.
When I was in training class many years ago, we had to do this all by hand. We couldn't use our calculators, and we did it all by hand. We did the monthly wages, and we figured out what the inflation factor was. We had to do it all by hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty decent.
Interesting.
So,
stuff.
Bob, just to go back, that same person, if they were had reached full retirement age, and then they got the big job, the $150,000 consulting job, that's okay. That wouldn't affect your...
That's correct. After your full retirement age, you can work and earn whatever you want to.
And as much as you want.
As much as you want, right? You can earn $1 million and you're 68. You can collect your Social Security. Or you can wait and get that 8% delayed retirement credit until you're
70.
70. 70 is the magic age. You
70.
Have to get... Well, you don't have to collect, but you really do need to collect at 70 because that's the last... I mean, you...
It's not going to be increasing.
It's not going to be increasing beyond that point. Now, one other point. Let's say you were working from... Let's say you were collecting and working from 67. Will your benefit increase because of your work?
Yes,
how does
it
that
will.
Work?
Because we take the highest 35 years. Every year we look back and say, hey, did we use all of Ron's highest 35? Oh, wow, he was working. Oh, man, we're going to kick out one of those low years, put in the higher year, and we'll change the calculation.
Wow.
I mean, it could be, you know, $20, $30, $40 a month or, you know, $5.
It adds up.
It adds up. Yes, Heidi.
So best 35 is the key.
Correct.
And that can make a huge difference in benefits because those prior years are dropping off.
And you might be thinking, how do I know what my highest 35 years are? You can go to a My Social Security account and look at your benefit earning statement. Look at that statement and you can figure it out what your highest benefits are. And that's, we want you to do that.
Great.
And Bob, how do you find my Social Security account?
Okay, you can go to socialsecurity.gov and you can create a My Social Security account. You'll do that. You'll go to our website and you'll log in through login.gov and you'll get into our website that way and you create your own account. It's like online banking.
Mm.
And there's a bazillion things that you can do on that account. Mm. And we want you to do it. We want you to look at your benefit statement for sure. And then you can change your address, direct deposit, get an estimate, get a 1099. We're coming up to tax season. So you're in January like, oh, man, where's my 1099? Oh, I lost it, threw it out. Well, go to my Social Security account, and you can download your 1099 and then get that.
It's ssa.gov.
SSA.gov.
Make sure it's .gov. Yeah.
No, we have a boatload of questions here, Ron. Shall we tackle those?
We have text messages. Here's one that says, I am a recent Michigan education retiree. I'm wondering if my benefits will be affected by Social Security benefits. I've been hearing that education retirement benefits do affect Social Security.
Okay, it all depends on whether you paid into Social Security for that pension. And I believe, Michigan, you are paying into Social Security.
For teachers, you mean?
For teachers, you're paying your Social Security tax. And if you're doing that, your pension is not going to affect your Social Security at all. However, if you will, I know Illinois teachers did not pay into Social Security. So if they did not pay into Social Security and you're receiving a pension, you're going to be under the Windfall Elimination Provision, or WEP. And so, yeah, if you're going to be under that, you're going to know it. So, but my guess is she is not, or he or she is not.
Check with your union, probably.
Check with your union, or actually you can look at your personal earnings and benefits statement. And if you've been paying into Social Security, that's not going to affect.
You're good.
One point on that pension, unless you've chosen the pension that's offset partially by Social Security benefits, I know educators, if you will, they have the option at some points to make that choice. So they can take a larger benefit initially, and then when their Social Security benefits start, then they get cut back on their pension. So that could possibly
could
be
what
you're referencing.
You would
want to check with your pension administrator.
All right, here's
to
a math
see whether
question.
Or not there's a cut in that. All right, go ahead, Ron, please.
From Boyne City, on determining benefit amount mid-year between birthdays, for instance, 69-year-old plus 8 months, is the benefit paid as if you were 70 years old, or does the benefit increase each month until the next birthday?
It is paid based on the year. So we're going to go back and pay give the percentage based on the year.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to go by like 69 and a half or 8 months. He's going to get the delayed retirement credits based on 69 and 8 months. But he's not going to get it until the year's over.
Okay.
Yep.
He's not going to get that increase? Is
correct.
That what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. Okay. I learned something there.
I am divorced at full retirement age. If I get married, is there a waiting or grace period upon my death that my new spouse would get my monthly Social Security benefits?
There's a duration of marriage. We want you to be married for a year.
Okay.
Okay, there's a duration of marriage. Now, if something happened, you know, died in an accident, I mean, we're going to investigate and say, well, did you get married on the deathbed? Is that what happened? Yeah. And, you know, then you cannot do that. But it needs to be a year or longer in marriage.
So if you're married for at least a year to a new spouse,
mm-hmm.
and he or she dies and has a higher mm-hmm. Social Security, you can then begin getting that.
Correct.
Married at least for a year.
But if the previous spouse had a higher wage, you can collect
that
benefit as well.
Yes, yes.
So whichever spouse you had, which had the higher benefit of creating the better benefit for yourself,
right.
is what Social Security would pay that person?
Yes, and it's based on like your age at the time. And when you're over your full retirement age, you want to take that higher one. If you're under your full retirement age, you might want to take the lower one first, and then wait till full retirement age and then switch over to the other.
So when dating at that point, let's say that were the case,
yeah,
you want to
yes.
find out exactly.
Yeah. All their Social Security history needs
yeah.
to be
tell me
divulged.
All about your Social Security benefits.
Right?
I
right?
mean, that could be a valid question.
And that's one thing, you know, when people are around age 60, if you are divorced and you remarry after age 60, it still keeps those marriages options open back there, entitlement in death situations. So if you're dating somebody and you're 58, 59, thinking about getting married, you might want to wait till after 60. Give us a call and say, hey, this is my circumstance. And we're going to ask you, hey, do you have any other marriages? And we're going to ask you those questions.
You know, they should have that on those dating sites, you know.
That's right.
A separate, like, Social Security box. Here's my Social Security status.
That's right.
You know, just when we thought there was nothing else to think about, it just popped up. I mean, who would have thought, Ron?
I tell you.
Crazy.
It's a complicated world.
Mm-hmm.
not,
yes.
not very romantic.
Yeah.
Here's somebody that says, taxable combined income was set in 1983. Back then, that was fairly high income. Perhaps the non-taxed portion of Social Security income should be increased and the tax collected on the amounts over should go into Social Security Trust Fund, not the federal revenue. So that's kind of like an idea on how
to do that. And, you know, like I said, the folks in Washington and Baltimore, they're working on those ideas, but we need legislation. We need the country to come together. Imagine that. Come together and figure out what we're going to do.
We'll wait till it gets really scary. Then we'll take it up.
There you go. There you go.
But is there a point where you don't pay into Social Security? There's a certain amount of income that you earn where you no longer pay Social Security benefits.
Yes, there is. And for 2025, that's $176,100.
And why don't, because a lot of people say, well, how come you don't pay Social Security if you make more money?
Because it's based on that formula of what we're going to pay you per month, and it's maxed out at that amount.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, I mentioned $176,100 for Social Security. Medicare keeps going, folks. The Medicare tax, they changed that rule a number of years ago and said, hey, we're still going to tax you on Medicare, so you have to keep paying that tax.
But that would be another thing that they could look into. That's another
they
adjustment
can look at
that
everything.
Could be.
Yep.
Just and in the long list of things we're coming up with today.
That's right. And one thing that I really love about working for the Social Security Administration is we do what the politicians tell us to do. We don't advocate one thing or the other. We just administer the law. And we let the people decide and let the politicians tell us what to do. We don't advocate one way or the other. We just say these are the options.
Great. Yeah. It's very interesting. We were reviewing some of the costs internal to Social Security. And going back just to 2015, the administrative expenses per year were 1.26%, 1.26 in 2015. Today, it's 0.94% in 2024. So those costs have come down by about 25%. That's incredible. Especially in light, so the administrative expenses, 0.94%, so less than 1% in administrative expenses
of all the money in the fund
of the
what we administer
of what you administer
benefit spending. Yeah.
Our operating costs are 0.94%.
That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty cheap.
Technology.
It is, and then the other page here. Agency overhead relative to benefits paid. The benefits paid in 1999 were about, a little over $50 billion in benefits. Excuse me, today, is this beneficiaries? Sorry, that's
beneficiaries.
$50 million folks in 1999. Excuse me, but in 2024, it's about 75, is it? About
right.
75 million or so. So it's up about 50% in total beneficiaries. But yet the number of employees has steadily declined at
right.
Social Security.
Right. So we have less and less people serving more and more people.
Yes.
So how do we do that? We do it through technology, folks. That's how we're doing it. Through technology, the My Social Security accounts. We want you to file online. We want you to call us, make an appointment. That's how we want you to interact with us. Of course, we're there. If you don't have phones, you can't, you're not capable of doing it. Then you come into the office, call us. But we want you to do it online. That's how we can do it as cheaply as we can.
Yeah, it's interesting. The number of employees was about 59,000 back in 1999. Today, it's 56,000.
56,000.
Yeah,
right.
Amazing, given that a huge increase in, 50% increase in beneficiaries. So
SSA.gov,
that's right. SSA.gov is the place to look at that. And then there are frequently accessed online services. I think we ought to cover that for a moment, Bob, of what you can get online.
Yeah, what you can get online is you can get your benefit verification letter. So if you need to prove to like an insurance company or a rental, a landlord, mortgage, you're getting a mortgage, you need to prove what your income is, you need a benefit verification letter. You can get that online. Just go online and you can get it right then and there. You can also get a copy of your 1099. You can get that. Just go to our website and you can print off a copy of that. I mentioned your Social Security statement. You can get that. If you're meeting with your financial advisor, your financial advisor is going to say, hey, how much Social Security are you going to get? And you don't want to sit there, well, gee, I don't know. I mean, it's like, oh, I don't know. And your advisor is going to say, well, let's go to Social Security. Let's figure mm-hmm. out what. And you need to get that, and it'll tell you what your benefit is. So if you're that 35-year-old person we talked about earlier, establish your My Social Security account, and you can see what your benefit would be. Also, if you're drawing benefits, you can change your address. Let's say you're going to Florida for 6 months and you want to change your address. Go on to your account and you can tell us, this is what my address is. Let's say you change banks and hey, I'm done with this bank. I want my money to go over here. Change your direct deposit. Do it online.
You don't just have to call 800, be on hold, and someone have to go through a file folder.
We're taking more and more calls. We really are taking a lot of calls. Cool. So if you can do it online, it's going to help you, and you know what's done, and it's quicker for you. And if you, let's say you file an application and you need to check the status of your appeal, you can do that. You can look and see, hey, where are they? Are they done yet? Mm. You can look and see, and you can check the status of your appeal. Another thing is what you can do is you can get a replacement Social Security card. Go online, and you can say, hey, I lost my card. Oh, my gosh, I need a new Social Security card. What? I lost it. My employer needs it. Go online. Apply for it, and you'll enter your state of Michigan ID information. You'll go to our account. You will post that information. 2 weeks later, you'll get a Social Security card in the mail.
See, I got mine when I was in seventh grade. Okay. I have – it's the original. It's beat up with my old signature.
Does your signature look the same?
No. So I can go online and replace that.
Go online and replace that, and in 2 weeks you'll get that
two
card.
2 weeks. Okay. Thank you for that.
Yes.
That's funny, Ron. I was thinking my disintegrated in my wallet years ago. Yeah. So, yeah.
Don't carry it in your wallet.
I don't.
You don't want to steal – somebody steal your wallet. Exactly. Keep it in your safe
at home. Not a good idea anymore.
Remember, people used to put Social Security number on their checks.
Yes.
Oh, I remember that.
Back in the days of honesty.
And we used to, all of our mailings, we used to have the Social Security number.
Yeah, right.
Well, we don't do that anymore. No. We have a special code that's on there that's unique to us and unique to you, then we put it in there. What's their number? I don't know. They put their code in. Oh, there it is.
Okay.
Great.
A couple more questions?
Yes, let's do that,
please. I just turned 61 this month. Could you ask your guest, what is the earliest time I can apply for Social Security, as in how many months prior to turning 62?
All right. What we want you to do is you can't do it until you're 3 months out. So 3 months before you're 62, we want you to go online and file your application. And what we'll do, it'll take you about 10, 15 minutes to do that. And what we'll do is we'll review your application and we'll call you back if you have any questions or if we need more information. And in that application, we ask you about marriage information that we talked about earlier. We ask about prior marriages, any children. And what we're looking for is entitlement for your auxiliaries, your family. Can someone else draw benefits off your record? But we do that, and we want you to do it. You can't do it until you're 3 months out.
Great.
All right. Let's see. Doesn't someone have to make a choice when they sign up for Social Security about what will happen when you die? Like you can take less and leave your spouse some benefits?
Well, what we ask when people do that, they can designate a somebody that can help them if they become disabled or they need a representative to payee, but they don't designate who can receive benefits on their record.
Okay.
I mean, we will discuss it with them. We'll say, oh, you know, you were married. Okay, if you died now, your spouse can get this much money. We'll tell them that and go through scenarios with them like that.
All right.
Yeah.
How about I have been divorced for about 20 years. Will my ex-wife's income automatically be factored in for my benefits? I will turn 62 in February. I'm unemployed and retired.
Okay, when you're 62 and you file your application, we're going to look and say, hey, you were married, and we'll look and explore if you can get any benefits off your ex-wife's record, or if your ex-wife can get any benefits off your record. We look at it both ways, and it depends on the ages and the amounts. Spouses and life situations are eligible for 50% of what your full retirement age benefit is.
And you have to have been married for 10 years.
10 years. Right. Yep.
But that's not going to impact your own benefit unless it would increase it. So, well, in that case. But if your spouse is collecting on your benefit, that doesn't decrease your benefit or cause any effect to it.
That's correct. Yeah, your current spouse or a former spouse, it's not going to affect your benefit amount at all. You're going to get X amount, period, whether they're drawing or not.
So if you have two spouses both collecting Social Security, one dies, does the other one, the survivor, get part of, you're saying, the dead spouse's benefit?
Generally speaking, the higher record's going to continue.
So just one.
Yeah, you're only going to get one. Okay. Let's say, let's give an example. One person's getting 1,000, the other person's getting 800. So what happens, the person who's getting 1,000 dies, that person's getting 800, it'll jump up to 1,000.
Okay.
If the person with 800 dies, then the 800 stops and the person getting 1,000 will continue. The higher record continues.
Got it.
Yep. You're talking about spouses.
That's
spouses. Yeah, yes.
Widows, right. Widow and widowers.
Spouse and widower and widower benefits.
Correct.
So we actually had another question, too, did we not?
Colleen had a question.
About a foreign...
What was the question, Colleen?
Said he's married to a woman from another country, and what if he dies first and then she collects his Social Security? What if she wants to move back to her country?
Okay, all right. She can draw benefits off his record as his widow, okay, and she can get that if she goes back to the country. Now, one of the questions I have as an adjudicator, I'm looking at it like going, is she getting a pension from the other country, and do we have an agreement with that other country? Because possibly if she's getting a pension from that country and we don't have an agreement, her widow's benefit could be offset based on the amount of that pension. 2/3 of that pension could be offset.
Okay.
So that's something that gentleman needs to call our office and say, all right, I talked with Bob on the radio. This is what I've got, these questions, and we can delve into it further with him.
So there's a lot of different rules depending on different countries and the agreements that have been made.
We have totalization agreements with different countries throughout the world. And, you know, some of them we can't, you know, Russia, you're not getting anything. So
I don't know a lot of people wanting to move to Russia right now.
No, but we do have agreement, you know, England, Canada, you know, Mexico, we have agreements with our allies and
excellent
folks. Yeah,
I didn't realize that. Yeah. So you have agreements with those allies of ours now. What's right. interesting too is, you know, that income is payable to that surviving spouse for his or her life as long as we have that agreement overseas.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Here's an interesting question that just came in. It says, let's say I'm out fishing in my boat and I fall overboard and my body is never found. Could my wife collect my Social Security without a body?
This actually happened to me when I was a claims representative.
Wow.
I took a case like this. We call them presumed death cases is what they are. And what happens is if we interview folks and to see whether it is the death suspicious, did someone try to knock you off?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a murder involved? We look at that in instances, and I believe after about 7 years, the court will say, okay, we presume that the person is deceased even though we don't have a body, and you go through a court proceedings, and at that point we can start your Social Security at that point.
So it could take as long as 7 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
The case that I had when I was a claims representative, I was in Chicago. And a woman came in, and she applied for benefits and her two children. And the guy, his car was last seen at O'Hare, and he had some debts with gambling debts, and his body was never found, and we weren't sure where he was, so had to develop that. And actually, we figured out that, he's probably gone.
Probably gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's reality, folks.
Okay.
It
does happen.
What you deal with.
All right.
So the bottom line, when you're talking or thinking about Social Security, you need an expert. You need to go find out very specific to your life. Like, this isn't something you can go to your neighbor and say, oh, what'd you do
Exactly. Everybody is different. And that's why, you know, even though you're listening to the show and you say, Bob said this, well, you know, you need to call us and figure it out for you, for yourself and your family.
Yeah.
You need to do that. And that's why I love talking with Dennis and Heidi and Deanne and Ron, because we need to spread the information. And we want bells to go off for you guys. When you're talking to a client or a guest at your show, well, bells to go off, that doesn't sound right. You need to talk to Social Security. Give them a call. Go to the website. Look at the information.
Yeah, the office here in Traverse City, I've always thought, has been incredibly well run, and have had a lot of good comments from retirees as to the help that they've received. So,
thank you. My crew does a great job.
Yeah, that's awesome, Bob. So it is a key decision, and Deanne, you make a great point that this is not something to get from your neighbor. Obviously, you know, you can talk to them, but for the final numbers and, you know, what could be the difference for me and or us in this situation, you really do need to take a look at that. Should I collect benefits early? Should I wait given my earnings? All the rest of it. So many times you're going to have 3, 4, 5 variables in your specific situation.
Right.
And rules change. Like
rules
one that we had was that file and suspend. You can't do that anymore.
That's
people
right.
used to do that 10 years ago. So it all depends on when you claimed, what were the rules then, and your personal information?
Rules change. That's why I have a job.
Job security.
One quick one?
Yes.
I'll be eligible for Medicare next year. I'm not collecting Social Security, so when can I apply for Medicare?
3 months before you're 65, we want you to file for Medicare. Pay for Part A, no premium. Part B, there is a premium.
That's what I did. I'm not collecting Social Security, and I applied for Medicare.
There you go.
That's exactly right.
Prime example.
You knew the answer. Surprise.
And you do have to apply, right, for Medicare?
You do need to apply.
Yes.
You
need to do that.
I want to thank our listeners for all the great questions.
Oh, phenomenal. Thank you. Agreed. Thank you, Deanne.
Sorry if we could not get to all of them, but Bob will be back. Or you can call the Social Security office.
Give us a call, 800-772-1213.
Prout Financial Design's new retirement radio, Dennis, Heidi, Deanne, and Mr. Bob Simpson. Thank you all.